Blog Talk Radio. You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
Healthy, we're all works in progress. I'm stuck on that song, new theme song, getting all excited about that for this Friday. Well, it's Happy Friday. It's a holiday weekend Friday. I'm sure that there's several people out traveling on the roads, lower gas prices. How about that? So wherever you're going, please be safe. Please enjoy yourself. Watch out for the police. Make sure you're doing the speed limit. Lots of police out there. So everybody have a good time doing whatever it is that you're going to do this weekend. Tonight we have a wonderful show. We've got Brenda Cobb, the founder of the Living Foods Institute that's here in Atlanta. We're going to be talking about the health benefits of live foods with her. beautiful show we're going to have this evening. As you all know, this show offers information about various complementary therapeutic methods that can be integrated to restore your health. For our motto is being healthy, wealthy, and well. Now, certainly, as you all know, the housekeeping rules, please dial in at 773-897-6115 and press 1 to speak with the host. To email us, at healthyprogress1@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or suggestions. Please like us on Facebook at 101 Oasis Radio. It's September, and it is National Preparedness Month. The theme is Don't Wait, Communicate, Make Your Emergency Plan Today. Now, this year, the society is being asked to action now. Make a plan with your community, your family, and for your pets. Plan how to stay safe and communicate during the disasters that can affect your community. We are asked as citizens to participate in America's Prepare-a-thon and the National Day of Action, which culminates National Preparedness Month on September 30th. To get more information about that, please go to the website www.ready.gov. That is www.ready.gov. It's the 5th Annual Black Women's Life Balance and Wellness Conference. That's on September 18th and 19th. It's going to be celebrating a new era for Black women's well-being. The location is always at Spelman College. If you'd like more information about that, it's lifebalanceconference.com. That's lifebalanceconference.com. Now, there's some other information I want to give today, which is international. You can go to the Vegan Society, which is at www.vegansociety.com, and find out the different events that are taking place at that location or for that organization that is basically global. So it's a wonderful website to explore with great information. Also go to veganvoice.org. There's some national information about what vegans are doing throughout the country. That's www.veganvoice.org/events. The 4th Annual Atlanta Veg Fest is Saturday, September 20th from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. You can reach out to those folks to get more information on Facebook at facebook.com/Atlanta Veg Fest. And that's going to be located at 1237 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, Southwest Atlanta, and the zip code is 30310. The Living Foods Institute is having a graduation on September 14th, or actually, it's having their introductory educational seminar with a recipe demo on the 14th. That's from 7 to 9 p.m., and that introduction is about learning about organic, vegan, raw, and living foods for those who want to continue their education. It's a two-hour introductory educational seminar which acquaints you with the Living Foods Institute's amazing health and healing programs. Brenda's going to talk with us a little bit more about the graduation that's going to take place the day before, which is Sunday on the 13th. Now, we have finally here the Central Savannah River Area Society, which is in Augusta, Georgia, is having a meetup on Saturday, September 26th. They're having a comfort food potluck. So if you would like to check that out, it's September 26th at 6 o'clock. For more information, go to www.meetup.com/CSRAVS/. Now, there we have the news that's taking place locally and nationally, and some of that information is global. We have our wonderful guest, Brenda Cobb. Brenda, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Marlo. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So how's your day going?
My day has been going really well today. I hope you've had a great day, too.
I have. I had a wonderful day today. There's a lot of sun here in Atlanta. I had a chance to get out and soak up a little bit of that sun. I'm looking forward to this weekend, relaxing, hanging out, doing the different things, a few things out within the Atlanta community. So I'm certainly looking forward to that. So I'm just wanting the weather to stay as beautiful as it is. Now, I know we need rain sometimes, but I would rather not experience that while I'm out doing my thing this weekend.
I know that's the truth. It'd be nice if it would rain not on the weekends when we want to be out having fun, wouldn't it?
Yes, I agree with that. I would like to modify the weather for that.
I know it. Well, we have been blessed with some beautiful weather here in Atlanta recently. You know, a little bit cooler days, a little bit breezier, but yet we've had the nice sunshine, and then a few pop-up showers in the afternoon, so we've kind of had the best of all the worlds.
Yeah, I'm loving that. I'm loving that. So I would like to do what I usually do, is share the background of our guest. You have an illustrious background here, and I want to have my audience soak all of this beautiful work that you've done over the last several years. And so here we go, folks. Brenda Cobb founded the Living Foods Institute in Atlanta, Georgia, in September 1999, just 7 months after she was diagnosed with breast and cervical cancer. She refused the surgery and chemotherapy that her doctor recommended because she had seen her own family members and friends diagnosed with the same type of cancers try the traditional treatments and fail. Brenda set out on a journey to explore a natural way of healing and discovered raw and living foods and detoxification. Brenda began her healing journey in February 1999, and by September 1999, she was disease-free. One of her medical doctors wrote the foreword to her first book, praising her for the healing protocol that she developed to help herself and others. Many doctors send their patients to Brenda's Institute in Atlanta when other treatments had failed. What began as the biggest challenge in Brenda's life turned into a wonderful gift to humanity. Since opening the Living Foods Institute, Brenda has expanded her healthy lifestyle course to help people heal on every level. She and her staff have trained thousands of people from all over the world with every type of disease, from cancer, diabetes, heart disease, candida, arthritis, allergies, asthma, AIDS, and lupus, to multiple sclerosis, Bell's palsy, depression, migraine headaches, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and many more chronic and acute illnesses. She has spoken to many thousands of people around the world about the benefits of the good nutrition and detoxification. And testimony after testimony, people have found relief from symptoms and complete healing from serious diseases by following Brenda's healthy protocol. To date, Brenda has written 10 books, The Living Foods Lifestyle, Colon Cleansing for Optimum Health, and 101 Raw and Living Foods Recipes, Good Start Now for Good Health, The Living Foods Lifestyle Training Manual, Healing Fibroids, Endometriosis, Tumors, and Cysts, A Plan for Health, Good Health Now, 33 Quick and Easy Organic Raw and Living Food Recipes, Essential Oils, Heal Body, Mind and Spirit, and she has a CD on the benefits of raw and living foods and a healthy lifestyle. She has hosted her own radio show, Living Well, on WGUN 1010 AM in Atlanta, Georgia, where she has helped listeners about the benefits of good lifestyle habits. Along with the incredible raw and living food recipes that Brenda is known for, the emotional healing workshops that are included as a part of her training programs are so powerful that people say, this course surpassed my wildest expectations for healing body, mind, spirit, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. It's the best thing I've ever done for myself. She has appeared on CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox Networks, as well as many cable stations, giving advice on healthy eating and living. She has been a speaker at national and international conferences, festivals, and expos, and sought after for many radio and television appearances. As a keynote speaker at numerous health and Body Mind Spirit Expos and the International European Vegetarian Congress. She has inspired hundreds of thousands of people to take back their power and claim the perfect healthy, or shall I say, the perfect health they were created to have. She was awarded an honorary cultural doctorate in therapeutic philosophy from the World University in September 2003. She was awarded the Phoenix Award by the City of Atlanta and numerous awards from other organizations for her work. Even though Brenda never makes promises about what her program will do for an individual, many say they have been healed through this amazing and inspiring woman's work. Brenda's mission to heal the world one person at a time is being fulfilled every day as the internationally acclaimed Living Foods Institute is now known around the world. For more information to book Brenda to come, certainly you can get her information this evening on the show to receive some powerful information about Living Foods Healthy Lifestyle Course and Educator Certification Training Workshops and Seminars. Brenda, thank you for your background.
Oh, thank you, Marlo. I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, wonderful experiences. You've done a lot of work. Now, this has been since 1999 that you've been doing
this
work. That's the period it covers from then to now. Yeah, you've done a lot.
You know, it really has become a mission that I didn't really have any idea that I would be fulfilling, because when I was diagnosed with breast and cervical cancer in 1999, my number one thought was healing myself. At that time, I didn't really even realize how my own health challenge would turn into my life's work and my life's mission. So what I thought, you know, you sometimes can think something really terrible has happened, and then it turns around to be the best blessing that has ever come. And that really is what has happened with me, is that my own health challenge has been the best blessing in my life.
Well, that's a very powerful testimony to use your life experiences as inspiration for others to heal in their lives and teach them how to heal, educate them. That's beautiful work. That is a mission. That's a powerful, powerful mission to accomplish, and for it to have become global. Look at the global exposure that you've had. So that's a great way to live an inspired life, sharing from your basic experience with healing yourself and using that as a platform to heal other people and demonstrate that through your life experiences as someone who's an example. So that's great. Now, what I would like to ask you is, why did you personally decide to do the Living Foods Lifestyle?
Well, when I was diagnosed, I remembered my mother and aunts and friends that had also been diagnosed with breast, cervical, uterine, ovarian, or other types of cancers, and how they were told by their doctors that they would have to do surgery and chemo and radiation. Same thing that my doctor told me, that I would have to have a hysterectomy and a mastectomy and do chemo and radiation. And I remember those stories of how the people in my life had said yes to the prescriptions, we'll call it, that the doctors had recommended, and how it really had not worked out well for them, that some of them got worse from the treatments and even lost their lives from those treatments. So I told my doctor immediately that I was not going to go that route, and that I was going to look for a way that I could support my body to naturally heal itself, because I believed that the body was created by God to be able to heal itself, but we've got to know what to do and to give the body the support it needs so that it could do it. My doctor was not happy about my decision, and in fact, he told me that if I didn't do what he said, that I most likely would be dead in 6 months to a year. So I told him, I said, well, I'll tell you what, if I'm not dead in 6 months, I'll come back to you. And, you know, if I am dead in 6 months, it's a moot point. But I want to take personal responsibility for the decisions that I make about my health, and I've got to feel good about that. And so that's really how I got started on it. And I left his office, went out to my car, and I prayed, and I just asked God to guide me and tell me what to do. And I heard that little voice say, go to the health food store. And even though I wasn't really a person that was into health food stores, I knew where one was in Atlanta. So I drove to that store, and I went in, and there was a young woman at the front door that greeted me and said, can I help you find something, or is there a reason that you came in today, something special? And I said, do you have any books on anybody that has ever healed cancer naturally? And she said, yes, we do. In fact, she took me over to the book session, and she showed me a book by a woman by the name of Edie Mae Hunsinger, and it was called How I Conquered Cancer Naturally. And, you know, when I reached up on the shelf, Marlo, to touch that book to get it off and go to the cash register with it, I got chills all over my body. It was really a clear message that this was the book for me. And so I took it home and I read it. And when I read Edie Mae's story of how she had had breast cancer, she did surgery and chemo and radiation, and how the cancer came back, and she did more chemo and more radiation, and it got even worse. And then after our third round of chemo and radiation, the doctor said, you only have 3 months to live, and there's nothing more that we can do for you. And she told the story about how she found out about Dr. Ann Wigmore and some of her work, and that she got on Dr. Ann Wigmore's program and started eating organic, raw, and living foods and wheatgrass juice and energy soup and Rejuvelac and veggie kraut, none of which I had ever heard of before, and colon cleansing and colonics, and I had never heard of colonics before. And she talked about how she completely healed, and it just resonated with me. And she had all these stories in her book about other people who had healed various types of diseases. And I thought to myself, you know something? If it can heal them, it can heal me. And that's really how and why I decided to use raw and living foods and all natural ways of healing. So, you know, her little book that Edie Mae wrote, because she had never written a book before, inspired me. And that then in turn around and inspired me to write my first book, The Living Foods Lifestyle, so that I could use my story and testimony and hopefully inspire other people. And so that's how it started.
Wow, that's excellent. Now let's talk a little more about how you personally heal breast and cervical cancer with a natural, healthy lifestyle, including the organic, raw, living foods. How did you heal, you know, emotionally with those foods, the cleansing, detoxification, and just walk us through that process, and which also leads up to how the Living Food Institute came to be.
Well, what I really discovered is that there's five real reasons why the body develops an illness, and five most important things that a person must do to recover and restore health, and even more importantly, to stay well, not just to get better, because you hear of so many people that get diagnosed with a disease like cancer, as an example, and they do whatever treatments that they decide to do, and then you'll hear about how that disease has returned. But what I really discovered is that, you know, the disease hasn't gone anywhere. When we say it's returned, it's just moved from one part of the body to the other. And until we really get to those five most important things and address them, that the body can't heal. So I found that there's also an order of most importance of those things too. So the number one thing that is of more importance than anything is how a person thinks. And so I really worked on my thinking. You know, as human beings, we can tend to sometimes think in negative ways or be influenced by people who say or think negative things, even being around people that may lean more toward a negative outlook on life than a positive one. So I really had to monitor myself and think about what I was thinking and what I was saying and how I was speaking, and to really only claim perfect and total health. So one of the things that I did is I began saying, by the grace of God, I am healed. I didn't say, I hope I'll get better, or maybe I'm going to heal, or I'm healing, which still makes it in the future. I really brought it into the present. By the grace of God, right now, I am healed. And that even though I was around people that did not agree with what I was doing and that tried to influence me and say things like, you've got to do what the doctor says and you shouldn't be trying something that you don't know anything about, I had to be extremely positive, and I had to let my friends and family members that were tending to be negative toward what I wanted to do, I had to really lovingly say to them, I appreciate the fact that you think that you are helping me by saying these things, and I know that you truly do love and care about me, but the best way for you to help me is to support the decision that I've made for myself. And if you're not able to do that, then the best way to help me is to not talk negatively about it to me. And sometimes I had to remove myself from people that seem to continue to want to doubt everything so that I could stay totally focused and very positive. So always remember that how you think is more important than anything. In fact, a good example of that is how sometimes people are diagnosed with diseases and they are put on drug studies where they're testing drugs, and they will enter some type of a group where half the people will be given the drug and the other half will be given a placebo or a sugar pill, and nobody is told what they're getting. Are they getting the drug that they're testing, or are they getting the sugar pill? And there are many cases of people that have healed completely when they were given the placebo. All they've taken is a sugar pill, and they've healed. How did that happen? Well, the way that it happened is because that person thought in their mind that they were taking a pill that was going to heal them. So the thinking and the way we think is more powerful than anything else. So that also means that if we're doing things that are good for us, but we're constantly questioning them and we're worried about, is it going to be good, that we actually can sabotage our own success rate. So above all, thinking and thinking in a positive way. That was my number one. Number two, I discovered that the next most important thing that has to be healed for the physical body to heal is the emotional self, and that there were emotional reasons as to why a person would develop a disease. No matter what the name of that disease is, there is an emotional component. And that disease begins in the body sometimes many, 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 many years before it's ever diagnosed, and can be traced back to something emotional that has gone on in that person's life. In fact, Dr. Edward Bach, a European doctor back in the 1940s that was practicing allopathic medicine, and he had become disillusioned because he would diagnose a person and then he would use allopathic mainstream medicine by treating them with surgery or drug therapy. And his patients were not healing, many times getting worse. Some of them were dying, and he was feeling that he was doing more harm than good. And he began to pray and meditate to ask to be shown what should he be doing to really fulfill his goal of not doing harm to his patients and, in fact, being able to help them to heal. And it was revealed to him through prayer and meditation that he should treat the emotional self and that he should use the essences of flowers to do it. So now today, all over the world, in every health food store you go in, and sometimes in even many grocery stores that carry healthy products, you'll see a line of something called Bach Flower Therapy or Bach Flower Essences. And this came from Dr. Edward Bach. He changed his entire medical practice so that then when he diagnosed a person with an illness, rather than treating them with surgery or a drug therapy, he would talk to them about what was going on with them emotionally, and then he would mix a compound of the essences of flowers, remembering that everything in nature has an energetic vibrational frequency, and the frequencies of these flower essences were very high, and he would give his patient this essence to take, this liquid form of these flower essences, and their emotional body would heal. And as soon as the emotional body is healed, the physical body instantly heals. This is one of the reasons that so many people have come to our center with very far advanced diseases that nobody thought was going to be possible for them to heal. And after spending a couple of weeks with us on our program, have gone back to their doctors to be retested and find that they've completely healed. That is not because they just changed what they ate. That is because something energetically has changed within them and their emotional self has been healed. So I had to work on my emotions, and I had a lot of emotional stuff. I had been through a very traumatic divorce. I grew up in the home with two parents that loved me very much and that I love very much, but my father was an alcoholic. And so he could change from being extremely loving to the very opposite of that. And so I had all kinds of emotional, even rage within me, even from a young child, from being in a abusive environment with living with an alcoholic. And so there was a lot of emotional work that I had to do. There was a lot of forgiveness I had to do. There was a lot of releasing, a lot of forgiving myself, forgiving others as well, and really reaching in, because I realized that I had been so angry about things around my dad's alcoholism, around my mother, who was a very kind of a controlling person, around my ex-husband, who I really resented for the way that he treated me, and I felt that he really did me wrong. And I had held on to these things, and even though they had not hurt these other people in my life, I had carried them and they had hurt me. And so I had used my own anger and rage and torment to create breast and cervical cancer. And I had to really release and heal on that level in order for that to leave my body. So that was number two. Number three was stress, that I really learned that stress can be a killer. And I had always put myself under a lot of stress. I learned later on that being the firstborn child of an alcoholic parent, that one of the things that I had done to cope with that is I had become a type A personality, an overachiever, wanting to be in control all the time, making sure that everything was just perfect. So I put a lot of stress on myself to be perfect in everything that I did. And, you know, I really came to the realization that, you know, none of us are perfect, and that a lot of the stress that I put myself under was really unwarranted and unneeded, and that I had brought a lot of my own health issues on myself. So I had to rethink that, and I began doing some things like meditation and more prayer, yoga that I had never done in my life, to really relax and become focused. So I really had to deal with my stress. I had to think about doing more fun things in my life and not being so serious about everything, because I tended to be very, very serious about everything that I did. I always wanted to be a winner. I always wanted to be on top. and that had driven me through my life. And then the fourth thing that I learned was that a body that gets sick is toxic, and that toxins build up in the body over many, many years and can be stored in the body at a cellular level. So every aspirin that I took, every Tylenol that I took, every prescription or over-the-counter medication that I had taken was stored in my body. And that toxins from other places like the air and water and the food that I had eaten, the environment that I had lived in, shampoo, body lotions, toothpaste, dry cleaning fluid, what I had used to clean my home, all of these were toxins that had built up in my body over years. I had gone to the dentist every 6 months as a child, and the dentist that I went to as a young child was always replacing fillings every 6 months with new fillings that were mercury amalgam fillings. Of course, we didn't know back then how dangerous that mercury in silver fillings could be to the body. So I had the buildup of mercury in my body. And you know, there's also lead and aluminum and manganese and cadmium and arsenic and fluoride and all of these things that we all come in contact with. So I had to detox and cleanse my body. And I did that with food. I did it with water. I did it with detoxification and cleansing treatments, with things like colonics and even personal enemas, and using wheatgrass juice and a lot of green chlorophyll-rich foods to help cleanse my body. And then, of course, the last thing was my nutrition. I grew up in the South, and you know what? We ate some really great food. My mom was a great cook. All my aunts were great cooks. We ate pretty much every animal known to man, and we ate it fried the way we love to eat it in the South. And, you know, we would go to a family reunion, and Marlo, we wouldn't just have one meat. There'd be fried chicken. There'd be some country fried steak there. There'd be some fried pork chops. There'd be the big baked ham there. There'd be some roast beef there. I mean, it'd be all these different meats. And then, you know, we'd have our macaroni and cheese and our rice and gravy. We'd have our green beans. We'd have those collard greens and turnip greens that have been cooked for maybe 6, 8, 10 hours with fatback or ham hocks in them. I mean, it tasted great. But you know what? Those foods were not really optimum nutritious food. So I ate that way. That was just the way I was born and raised up, you know. So I had to really think about and relook at my diet and the types of foods that I needed to be eating. I didn't know that when you cook food that you killed all the living enzymes. I never even thought about what an enzyme was before. I didn't even realize how important enzymes were to the body. But on my quest, I discovered that every body function that the body does, from breathing to the heart beating to even being able to have a child to digesting food, requires enzymes. And then I realized that, my gosh, every time I cooked my food, I killed every enzyme in the food. Then I learned that my body was acidic and that eating cooked food was acidic and that I needed to bring my body back to alkalinity. And so I had to change my entire way of thinking about food and about eating. And it really was about my identity, because I was a good cook and I was known for my really good cooking. So I was like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen if I don't have these dinner parties where everybody comes over and praises me about my food? What am I going to do now? So I kind of used that as a way to be creative and develop really good tasting food that was created with organic, raw, and living foods rather than cooking everything. So that's really kind of how that whole journey developed for me. And then I took all those principles and turned them into programs that I was able to teach other people. And then I found out that, you know what? These principles work for pretty much every kind of disease and every type of person that you know, I was wanting to heal cancer. And that was my only motivation. I only had one motivation. It was all about me, me, me. How do I heal breast and cervical cancer? But when I got on the program, not only was my cancer gone in 6 months, when I wasn't dead, I went back to the doctor and I got retested. I was completely cancer-free. But it had also healed my rheumatoid arthritis. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis at 27. And the doctor told me then that I would probably end up in a wheelchair and I would always have to take drugs for this rheumatoid arthritis. And this whole protocol healed that arthritis. I had allergies. All my allergies were healed and went away. I had migraine headaches. I never had another migraine headache. I had skin issues. I had eczema and psoriasis. I had acne. I had rashes on my skin. My skin cleared up. My eyesight improved. I mean, my hair was gray, and it even turned back, which I was really amazed at that. I never even knew that gray hair could turn back, or that gray hair had anything to do with deficiency in the body. So it was really like a transformation, you know, completely. By doing all of those things, my body just healed itself. And the other thing that I loved was it reversed aging. I mean, I started looking and feeling younger and younger and more energetic. And people would see me and they would say, gosh, you look so young. Have you had a facelift? I was like, no. They're like, you look 20 years younger. I'm like, well, gosh, thanks. I need to hang around you more if you're going to compliment me like that, you know. So there were a lot of other benefits from it, too.
Wow, so you completely regenerated.
That's right. I transformed and I regenerated myself. I kind of remade myself. And, you know, over the years, I've done a lot of television appearances where I would go in, and over the years would see some of the same cameramen, you know, at some of the same television stations, or I would see some of the same news anchors that would be interviewing me. And as I would go in year after year, you know, they would make comments. They would go, wow, what have you been doing? You look younger now than you did 5 years ago whenever we did an interview with you. And I said, well, I'm doing this program that I teach everybody to do. And they're like, wow, I mean, has it done all that? I said, you know, that's the real, what I call the icing on the cake, so to speak, is that I did it for healing, but it really has made me look better on the outside, too. So I always tell people, look, even if you don't want to get well, even if you're not interested in your health, do it for one reason, and that's vanity, just so you'll look good.
Wow, that is amazing. Well, what I want to do for the audience is go over your five reasons people get sick, and then we'll segue that into the five things we must do to restore, maintain our optimal health. Now, you said, number one, it's how you think. You need to think positively. Get rid of all the monkey chatter in your brain, self-sabotaging thought, the thoughts, the beating the drum thoughts that you have, rewinding negative experiences. You have to learn how to cleanse that out of you. And you did mention yoga, prayer, and meditation. You mentioned that for stress. So that is the one most important thing you said you needed to do, was to change how you thought. The second thing you said, disease is caused by emotional reasons, which creates disease. There's a doctor, her name is Jill Pookrum. She's local to Atlanta. She talks about how people who get cancer, she healed herself from cancer. She talks about how people who get cancer in whatever form, they're lying to themselves in some kind of way. And depending on where the cancer manifests in your body, Chinese medicine discusses what emotions are tied to that. So it's very interesting that you brought that up related to changing how you feel, what happened in your childhood, you know, how you carry that for a lifetime into your adulthood, and how you need to cleanse your emotions so that your body could become disease-free. Then you talked about stress, how stress can be a killer, which is true. You know, we talked a lot about that on this show, how important it is to decompress. We live a very stressful lifestyle with keeping up with everything. We're doing more now than we ever have. There's so much to keep your mind cluttered with the technologies, whatever your family situation, how fast-paced society has become because of technology, and not relaxing, not knowing how to relax. Some people just have to be moving all the time, got to have some noise all the time. The fourth thing you said is your body gets sick because of toxins. We've got more toxins in the food now than we ever had, all these chemicals. Incredible how natural ingredients have been substituted out for synthetic stuff, the processed foods, all of these chemicals that are toxifying of the body. What you breathe, you mentioned what we're breathing in the air, just so many. Just read some of the labels with the ingredients. You just compare that, some basic things. You can, like a Snicker bar, look at what that is, what's in that compared to now. Some of these processed foods, the different sugars that have different names, maltodextrin, corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup, aspartame, all of these different types of chemicals that are in the food substituting what's natural that the body actually needs. So you talked about five, nutrition. You need to reexamine the food that we eat. We've got all that pork. I think in seeing what you said, you asked a lot of people not to eat.
That's right.
You listed a lot of food stuff that people eat down here. So you basically said, hey, you don't have to stop eating. Get with a new program. So that's been very interesting. It's very true. It's very, very true. And what's marvelous about what you're talking about, institutions like Johns Hopkins University as a hospital, teaching hospital, they're using herbal medicines to treat cancer, leukemia.
That's true. You know, I spoke at Johns Hopkins University Medical Center and Hospital year before last. I had prayed and prayed and prayed to God that somehow we would reach more doctors, because I always felt that if we could reach doctors, because doctors were not really trained in nutrition. They have less than 2.5 to 3 hours of nutritional training, and they're really trained, you know, in surgery, and they're trained in how to prescribe drugs, but not in really how to help and support people in natural healing. And so every night I would pray, God, please let somehow open up the opportunity to train these doctors. And then I got an invitation to come to Bethesda, Maryland, and speak to thousands of doctors and teach them. And that was very eye-opening. And many of them were very open to learning more, but there also were those that just really were not open to it and didn't really want to learn anything different. You know, it takes effort. If you think about that, you've known something all your life, or you've gone to school to be educated in a certain way, it really takes effort to undo the things that you've learned, kind of reprogram yourself and put new tapes in there. And so, you know, sometimes I've faced where doctors were like, don't bother me with that. I don't really want to know it. Even today, people will call me and tell me that they've been to the doctor, they've been diagnosed with cancer or some other disease, and that they've asked the doctor then, does it matter what they eat? And the doctor says, oh, what you eat doesn't matter one way or another. And when you think about that statement, that just seems bizarre to me, because anything that goes in your body is going to affect your body either in a positive or a negative way, isn't it?
It's true.
It's true, isn't
it's
it?
True.
I mean, you and
it
I don't
true.
Have to be doctors. We don't have to have any type of a rocket science degree to know that what we eat affects us. So when doctors tell their patients it doesn't matter what you eat, when we know that sugar feeds cancer, and yet whenever you look at the diets that the Cancer Society and doctors are giving these little books and telling people what to eat, and it's full of all kinds of high-fat fried foods and sugary foods and all this, I have to stop and say, wait a minute, are they trying to help us, or are they trying to kill us here? Because it just doesn't really make sense.
Well, disease is business. There's a film maker and a lecturer named Sonia Barrett, documentary out called The Business of Disease. Everybody needs to Google that and get with that. She's been traveling with that film throughout the country to rave reviews. She's got on YouTube a little sampling of the film. It's brilliant work. It's brilliant work. There's plenty of documentaries out there. Food, Inc., Fed Up.
You're right. That's a great one. And another one that's good for people to watch is Eating, the Rave Diet. And to watch the one called Healing Cancer and Disease from Inside Out by Mike Anderson. You know, it's got nationally known doctors like Dr. T. Colin Campbell on there. And they talk about that and how illness is a business, and that keeping people sick, they make more money than really teaching and helping people to get well. I've always said that if health insurance companies would pay for everybody to go somewhere, to some type of a school or an institute like what we have, and just teach them how and what to do, that we could lower health care costs and that people could stay well rather than waiting until people get sick and then trying to treat their illnesses.
Well, you know, that is interesting. There's a lot of money in disease, a lot of money in disease. And there are some slow, progressive changes, but that is a behemoth to fight, especially when you want to discuss the food that we're eating and the disease that it causes. You mentioned sugar. You have to think about how, in Fed Up, First Lady Obama got attacked by the food industry when she was discussing with creating her movement, you know, concerned about a whole generation of children growing up obese with type 2 diabetes. You're not even 10, and you've got type 2 diabetes, and you're overweight.
Well, don't you remember whenever they attacked Oprah, too, when Oprah came out and said something about meat and not eating a hamburger or something? You remember how that whole industry came after her? You know, so, you know, it's kind of like the food pyramid that I was raised on. So I was born in 1949, okay? So, you know, I was taught in school that old basic food pyramid, and that was paid for by the meat and the dairy industry to get people to eat more meat and dairy products. Well, now we know that eating more meat and dairy products has led to a lot of issues with disease. But if you try to attack that or come out and say that you don't think that that's a healthy thing to do, the people that are selling meat and dairy products get very uptight about that, and then they come back with, you know, their lawsuits or whatever that they want to do to try to stop that message from getting out there. So, you know, it's a tough situation. I think that's why the more of us that can become our own advocates, we can become, you know, get our own training rather than being a victim to all this stuff that's going on, that we become better educated. I do believe that there are a lot of people that would do better if they just knew what to do, and that the more that people like you and me and others that are out there teaching and trying to reach people, if we will just continue doing what we're doing to educate, that there will be some people who will be positively affected by that. Some people will change the way they eat. Some people will change the way they think. Everybody won't, but some will. And I've always thought, you know what, if I can just reach one person, then I've done something good to help one person.
Well, that's true. That's very true. Now, let's get into the five top things we must do to restore and maintain optimal health. Get on to the healing side of the five reasons why we get sick.
All right, well, that first one is that mental thinking. So let's think about how it is that we think. Now, we live in a society where we say things without even thinking about what we're saying. And we really don't even think that what we're saying is negative. And I'll give you a good example. Think about when somebody does something nice for another person. and that person turns around and says to them, thank you. And the response that has become so mainstream today is a negative response, and that response is, no problem. Now, think about that a minute. No, and that's negative, and problem, that's negative. Now, I know the way I was raised that whenever somebody turned around and said, thank you for something you did, you said, you're welcome, or you said, it's my pleasure. So you said something positive. But now, even without even thinking about it being negative, so you go in the grocery store or you're at the fast food line or you're shopping for clothes or whatever, pay attention to that when you're out and talking to people. How many people will say to you, no problem? And you might think, well, gosh, Brenda, that seems kind of petty. That's such a little thing. But remember that words have vibrational frequencies. And when you send a thought or a word out with a frequency, if it's a low frequency, it attracts back a low frequency to itself because like attracts like. If you have a high frequency and you say something loving and kind, it would be the same that if you said something mean and hateful to a person, that's a negative low energy, that's going to attract back mean, hateful, low energy things to you. But if you say loving, kind, nice things to people, that's going to attract back loving, nice, kind things to you. And so if we can begin more to monitor what we really are thinking and what we really are speaking, so that everything that comes out of our mouth or every thought we think, that we stop and we say, is that really what I want in my life? Do I really want that? Is that really what I want to attract? So just remember that we manifest our own reality with every thought and with every word. You don't even have to speak it out. If you just are thinking it, you're manifesting something back to you. People will get in a rut sometimes. So maybe they want to do something, they want to purchase something, they want to buy something, and they'll say, I don't have the money. I never have enough money to do what I want to do. So they keep putting that out. I'm broke. I can't afford it. And so what they're doing every time that they do that is they're creating more of that same thing, which really is not something that they want, but they keep recreating it over and over because they keep putting that word, those words out. If instead we can help to begin to say things like, I am prosperous, I am successful, I am rich, I am abundant, my good follows me wherever I go, money comes to me from expected and unexpected resources. If we can get people to change the way they're thinking and put out those good vibrational frequencies, then new things will come in. Okay, so that's number one. And then that number two thing we've already talked about is emotional healing. Well, what do we have to do about that? You've mentioned, you know, some people that are teaching about that. There's a great book. There's actually two books I want to recommend to people. One of them is called, real famous book by Louise Hay, called You Can Heal Your Life. That book has helped more people. And in that book, in the back of the book, there is an index of all the various diseases, and it will tell you what the emotional cause for that disease is. And then within the book, there are exercises to do, and there are new affirmations, new things to say, new ways to think. So just by getting that book and reading it and following step by step some of Louise Hay's work, we can begin to work on healing our emotional self at home. There's another excellent book, and we use this book also in our work at our center, called Radical Forgiveness by Colin Tippin. Now, this book really takes you beyond just giving lip service to I forgive you, because it goes beyond just saying that you're forgiving to really looking at what has happened in your life and forgiveness in a whole other way. Now, it is a radical, and I love the name, radical forgiveness, because it's a radical way of thinking. But when you read this book and you really understand what Colin Tippin is trying to say, you go beyond just saying I forgive to truly forgiving. Because so many times you'll hear a person say, well, I've forgiven them, but I can't forget it. They're still holding on. I can forgive it, but I can't forget it. Okay? So in his way of thinking is that everybody shows up in our lives for a purpose, and that even things that appear to be negative that we think that people have done to us, somehow they showed up in our lives and we showed up in theirs for that to happen so that we had the opportunity to step up to the plate and forgive. Because, you know, we have the opportunity every day, because it's not what happens to us that really makes any difference. It's our reaction to what happens to us that makes all the difference in the world. The same thing can happen to several people, and they can all react in a different way, and that can affect the outcome. So that's another book. And then there's a third book I want to recommend to people, and it's called Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. And that's by Carol K. Truman. And there's some wonderful exercises in that book. In the back of her book, she also has an index of various diseases and what the emotional cause of those diseases are. Now, sometimes when you have a disease and you start reading about these emotional causes, you might want to run from it, or you might want to deny it, or you might want to say, no, that's not me, it can't possibly be, or to not even accept responsibility that you may have had in the creation of that disease. Because it's a lot easier to say, well, it's so-and-so's fault that that happened, or, you know, it's this, you know, that food that I ate is the reason why. But remember, it's not just all about the food. It's not just all about the environment. We do have to take self-responsibility. If we're not willing to take self-responsibility for a part of what we have created in our own lives, then we're living in denial. We're never working on ourselves to get better. And so we stay in that rut, and that's many times why people stay sick. Okay, so working on that emotional healing. Now, there's a good therapy. We do some therapies at our center to heal the emotional self. One is the Bach therapy, where you meet with a therapist, talk about what's going on emotionally, and then they mix a Bach concoction, we'll call it, of various Bach flower essences for those particular emotional things, and you take that essence, and you take it in liquid form every day, and it begins to heal that emotional self. Another thing that works on the emotional self as well as the physical is essential oils. You know, in the Bible, there's over 200 references to the use of essential oils to anoint and heal the body. Well, essential oils work the same incredible way today that they did in Bible days. So they heal. We use essential oils, organic, custom blended oils with everything from frankincense and myrrh to things like angelica, rose, geranium, chamomile, hyssop, and so forth, helichrysum, in various mixtures that when we use it, on the skin, it absorbs into the blood. It crosses the blood-brain barrier, and it gets into the limbic system of the brain, which is at the frontal lobe, and that's where the emotional center is. And so that helps those emotions to release and to heal. So those are some things that can help emotions. Now, when you start cleansing and detoxing, like cleaning out your colon with colonics, that's another thing we do at our center, and you start getting rid of that impacted waste, emotional stuff is held in that as well. So as you start cleaning up your act and that comes out, emotional things can come to the surface to be cleansed and healed. And then that third thing is stress. Now, I talked about a few things, like I talked about yoga. I talked about meditation. I talked about prayer. But how about breathing? Breath work is very important. We do special breath work at our center in working with our clients to help them to heal. There's also a technique that we teach around tapping that helps to heal the body and release stress and energetic emotional frequencies that are held in there. Exercise is another thing that can help in alleviating stress from the body. And a lot of people have become really more like couch potatoes, and they're not even getting outside and walking. You know, breathing the fresh air, the sunshine on the body, all of those things can help to lower stress, and more sunshine can help to raise your vitamin levels too. So, you know, that's important. You know, taking time to relax, having fun, you know, watch a movie that makes you laugh. Laughing is really good to reduce stress.
Yeah, it is. Well, Brenda, I wanted to tell you we've got 25 minutes left in the show. So there's several other questions I want to ask. So quickly, I would like you to give the fourth and fifth recommendation in terms of restoring and maintaining health so I can get into asking you why it's important to have, why is a vegan raw diet so important and the differences between raw foods and living foods are some very important questions to ask.
All right. Well, that fourth one is to detox. So you can detox with the right foods. We have a health scope scan that we can do, which is a test to find out if people are allergic to certain foods, what heavy metals are in their body, if they've got fungus, mold, yeast, bacteria, virus, so we know what to detox out. And then we can advise them, do they need reflexology, do they need foot bath detox, do they need infrared sauna, do they need more colonics, do they need the Qi machine or the Metatron mat. There's many detox therapies and specific foods that can detox. If you have heavy metals, liquid cilantro and Corella can be used to bring those out. So that's the next. And then, of course, last is the nutrition. And we believe in customizing a nutritional approach. So, again, we like to use that health scope scan to see what people are allergic to and what foods are best for them so that we can customize a nutrition program. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It really is best to have a customized approach because you'll get the best results that way.
That's true. And your fifth?
Well, that's that nutrition, you know, because we said mental thinking, emotional healing, stress, toxicity, and then that nutrition. So let's customize the exact nutrition. So let's help a person. See, this test that we do will show what you're allergic to. You'll even see if some of the animal products and dairy products that you may have been eating, if your body is actually allergic to them. So you're developing inflammation every time you eat them.
Okay. Well, let's talk. Yeah, as I said, I've got some great questions here, and I want to get to them. You've given great information. I want to get these questions because I know so many people want to hear the answers to these questions. Let's talk about, as I said previously, why is a vegan raw diet so important? Why is it so powerful? You've mentioned how much your body regenerated just because of the way that you healed through living foods and changes such as your hair turning from gray to its natural color, which you did not expect. So let's talk about that. Why is it so powerful to be on a vegan raw diet?
Well, being that it is vegan, we don't have the toxins that are from dairy and meat products and the low frequency of those that also creates an acidic body. So remember, we always want to bring the body back to alkalinity. So when you're eating animal and dairy products, you're in a highly acidic state. Now, if you eat cooked vegetables, they're acidic too. But if you change and you're eating raw vegetables and raw fruits, then you're in an alkaline state because those things are alkaline. So when you eat a vegan raw diet, you're taking in optimum nutrition that has not been compromised by heating. You're taking in hundreds of thousands of times and more enzymes, so you're digesting better, and all those enzymes are working to help your body in every way of every function that it needs to perform. You're energizing your body. You'll notice that when you eat raw and living foods, you don't feel like you need to take a nap afterwards like you do when you eat cooked food. You feel very energized from that. So it's a clean diet. And the more of a clean diet that we can eat that doesn't require so much of our energy, you know, usually it takes more energy to digest food than any other thing. It takes more energy to digest a meal than it does to run around the block. And so those are reasons why, not to even speak of the ways that eating a vegan diet impacts our planet, because, you know, methane gas, one, the biggest place that it comes from is on growing all the cattle to feed people all these animal products from all the waste that the cattle give off that produces all this methane gas. So, and for people that are not aware of it, you know, it takes so much, you know, it'll take 2,500 gallons of water to try to get a steak for a person to eat, but it only takes 25 gallons of water to get a pound of produce. You know, so when you really are thinking about how we really need to be conserving water, so it's not only for our own personal health, but this is for the health of the planet too.
Wow. True. Now let's talk a little bit about the difference between raw foods and living foods.
All right. Well, a raw food is going to be a fruit, a vegetable, a nut, or seed that has not been cooked. A living food is going to be a food that is sprouted. Now, you mentioned Johns Hopkins University earlier, so I'll tell you about a study that they did. They did a study on broccoli sprouts. And they found that broccoli sprouts will not only heal cancer, but it can prevent cancer from forming in the body. A sprout has more enzymes. In fact, it has 100 up to as much as 100,000 times more enzymatic activity in it than it does even in a raw food. It has more nutritional density. There's more energy in a sprouted food than there is in any other food. It's a living life force. When you put living foods in your body, you even connect more to your whole divine essence because it raises your vibrational frequency. Think of it like this. If a farmer takes a seed and they go out and they plant it in the field and the sun shines on it and the rain comes and waters it, it's going to sprout and it's going to grow up into a plant. But if that farmer took that same seed and before he took it out there, he dropped it for 5 seconds into hot boiling water and then he planted that seed wouldn't grow. He just killed the seed. So the raw seed that now is sprouted has superpower packed in it. So there's broccoli sprouts, sunflower sprouts, buckwheat lettuce sprouts, green pea sprouts, mung bean sprouts, lentil sprouts. You can sprout most any bean or seed. And when you sprout it, you create the nutritional density, the enzymes, and the value of it.
Okay, that's very interesting. Now, when you talk about a vegan diet, vegetarian diet, a lot of people think about, okay, where am I going to get my calcium from? Where am I going to get my protein from? So when you're on a raw vegan diet, where do you get your protein? If you're not going to eat dairy, where are you going to get your calcium?
All right, so protein actually comes from a lot of sources. Something that a lot of people don't realize is that Corella, which is a actual sea vegetable, Corella, has more protein than any other life force on the planet. So it has way more than any meat. Beans have protein in them. Did you know apples have protein? In fact, most vegetables and fruits have some protein. We are living in a protein myth where we have been brainwashed into thinking that we need way more protein than what we really actually do need. Sprouts have protein. You know, it's like you get way more protein than what you are even thinking that you would possibly need by eating a vegan diet. And remember now, we're talking about vegan versus vegetarian, because vegetarian means that that person may be eating eggs, they may be eating dairy products, but if you're vegan, you're not eating any type of an animal product. Now, where are you getting calcium? I remember being on CNN years ago, and they had a doctor from Harvard, a doctor in nutrition, and the doctor was talking about, when that question came up, where do you get your calcium, and she was suggesting that people drink more milk, eat more cheese, and she said, and even eat ice cream. And they bypassed me on that question and went to another question for me. But before I answered that other question, I said, you know, I need to address this issue of this dairy, because drinking milk, eating cheese, and eating ice cream, that is acidic to the body. And when your body is acidic, your body does everything it can to bring itself back to alkalinity. So it goes right into your bones and it pulls out this alkaline calcium to try to alkalize your body. So when you're eating dairy products, you're actually doing more harm to deplete your calcium. But again, remember, the dairy industry paid for the study that said to all of us, you've got to have these things because you're going to get more calcium. They did the Got Milk years ago, where the stars are wearing the milk mustache to get more people to drink milk. But milk is one of the worst things people can drink because it's very acidic and it develops mucus in the body. So where do you really get it? Well, dark green leafy vegetables have more calcium than any type of a milk product does. Wheatgrass juice is full of calcium. Anything that's green has got a lot of calcium in it. Broccoli has calcium. Celery has calcium. Cucumbers have calcium. But dark green leafy vegetables, so kale, collards, spinach, dandelion, arugula, all of those are high-powered calcium. But remember now, if you cook them, you actually kill those enzymes and you compromise that calcium. So I've developed some recipes where you can take greens, keep them raw. I have a marinated greens recipe in my Living Foods Lifestyle book that's delicious. But there's a lot of ways that you can use greens, keep them raw, and make them really tasty, and you'll get all the calcium you ever need. Another place to get a lot of high-powered calcium is from sesame seeds. So if you get raw tahini, which is ground sesame seeds, not the roasted sesame seed, because that is acidic and has been compromised, but the raw seeds that have been ground, then that is extremely high in calcium. And guess what? It's also high in protein, too. So you get the bang for your buck in two ways by using sesame tahini.
Wow, that's excellent. I know for people who have gray hair, copper is what helps your hair to turn back to its natural color. I'm not sure if you know about Dr. Wallach, who's in the Midwest, who was nominated for a Nobel Prize. He has great information about the different minerals that help your body to heal, which foods you can eat. So there's also raw cashew, raw pumpkin seeds, raw sunflower seeds that are high in copper. So if you want to eat those raw foods as nuts to get protein as well, if the high content of copper, that helps as well. Now let's move on to, clearly you discussed how you can use food as your medicine and why medicine is your food. I'm sure there are some people who want to ask this question, and I have an answer for this, is can you eat any cooked food on this particular type of lifestyle that you're talking about, as live and living foods being the most important way to achieve optimal health?
You can, and we actually do recommend when we're developing nutrition plans for people the use of some cooked foods, because the average person is not going to eat 100% raw and living foods all the time. And if they think that they're being deprived of cooked foods, many times they will go back and binge on those foods and then get away from eating raw and living foods altogether and go back into eating mostly all cooked foods. Now, if a person comes to our center and they have a serious health issue that we want to help them to heal, and they're there with us, say, for one of our 10 or 15-day programs or our 5-day programs, we're going to work with them during that time frame to eat only raw and living foods so that we can jumpstart their body on healing. But then once we get the HealthScope scan results back and we see what foods are optimum for them and what foods they need to be avoiding altogether or minimizing, then we're able to help them in developing a diet that has a balance of raw and living foods and cooked foods. For some people, that may be 80% raw living and 20% cooked. For others, it may be 70-30. For some others, 50-50. Or for some others, it may be even the opposite, where they're eating 30% raw and living and 70% cooked. I always encourage people to start where you are, because if you'll just eat one more raw and or living food and replacing something you would have eaten cooked today, then you're doing something good for your body just by doing that one thing. So, yes, you can have cooked food, but you do want to learn which ones are going to be best and optimum for your particular physiology.
That's excellent. Now, we have a few more minutes left in the show. I want to ask one last question before we talk about your contact information and to give more information about the graduation ceremony that's taking place on Sunday the 13th. Why is it important, and so important, why is there so much emphasis on eating organic?
Well, organic foods do not have chemical fertilizers that they've been grown with. And they've not been sprayed with pesticides. And both the chemical fertilizers and the pesticides are extremely toxic to the body. And because we know toxins in the body help the body to develop disease, we want to do everything we possibly can to eliminate as many toxins as possible. So if we can eat more organic food, we're not continuing to add insult to injury. We're not continuing putting more and more of those toxic things on top of an already toxic body. So that's really why we want to go with organic. And some people say, well, can I wash off those pesticides? Well, you can't really wash them off. You know, they're petroleum-based, and they actually absorb in through the skin. And then the fertilizers, which are nothing but toxic chemicals, they are actually inside the flesh of the fruits and the vegetables. So there's no way to get that out. So even though you might think you're paying more, and sometimes you are paying more for organic food, if you really look at food as being your medicine, which is what Hippocrates said, the father of medicine, said, let food be your medicine. Well, if we would spend a little bit more on our food, then we would be spending a lot less in the doctor's offices and at the pharmacy. And so if you shop the outer perimeter of the grocery store and shop in prep fresh produce and stay out of the canned good aisles and the boxed aisles and the frozen food aisles, and you really go more for fresh produce, you'll find your grocery bill, you will actually cut down. It's not organic food that makes the grocery bill so high. It's all that other, the meat, the dairy, the sugar, the cookies, the ice cream, the sodas, all that stuff that shoot the food bill high. So shop in the fresh produce and look for organic.
Okay. Well, what I would like you to do, Brenda, is to give us the contact information for which people can reach you so that with any further questions they may have related to the Living Foods Institute, they can definitely get in contact with either you or your staff?
Well, they can certainly call us. Our local number is 404-524-4488. If they're calling outside of the local area or another state, we have a toll-free number, and that's 800-844-9876. We've got a website, which is livingfoodsinstitute.com. You can email us at info@livingfoodsinstitute.com. You can personally email me at Brenda@livingfoodsinstitute.com. So those are all easy ways. Now, we're located in Atlanta at 1700 Commerce Drive Northwest, and that's Atlanta, Georgia, 30318. So there's a lot of easy ways that you can reach us, and I will call you back if you want to talk to me personally. I also do consultations by phone to help people. So we're very easy to reach, and I'd love to talk to people that are wanting to do a better way of living and a better lifestyle for themselves.
Okay, excellent. Now, real quick, in about 2 minutes, tell us about the graduation. The graduation ceremony is going to take place on Sunday the 13th.
That will be at 3:30 p.m. at the 1700 Commerce Drive location. And that'll be a big banquet feast, so you can try all these delicious organic, raw, and living foods and hear the testimonies of people that are there from all over the world and locally, as well as cities and states across the country. And they'll tell how the program has impacted them and the results that they have gotten from being there with us. So we really invite people to come out and try that and just be with us and hear all those inspiring words from our students.
Wow, that's excellent. Well, Brenda, I want to thank you for being on the show. It was a rich show. We could have talked for another 2 hours. Just wonderful information, transformative information, which people need in this day and time. More and more people are growing their own gardens. More and more people are going organic because they want to live long. People are actually living long. They want to live healthy as their first wealth, basically, as Ralph Waldo Emerson said, American philosopher, your health is your first wealth. You want to live an active, fruitful life. Well, you have to be healthy to do that. And so I really appreciate what you're doing at the Living Foods Institute and coming on the show and offering such wonderful, life-changing information and using your own personal life healing story to create what you have with your mission and travel all over the world teaching and sharing and growing. It's a wonderful opportunity that you have to live such a vibrant life, living raw, living food, sharing this information with others. So I certainly appreciate it. I definitely learned more from the conversation and certainly the audience has. So I'm very grateful to you again for being on Let's Get Healthy. We're all works in progress. You have a wonderful rest of your weekend, and I do intend to come to the graduation to experience what it is that you're teaching there, different recipes. I'm sure that the students have cooked, or I won't say cooked up. See, I almost said it.
Well, they've prepared them. They've uncooked them, Marlo. They have prepared those great recipes for you. Well, it has been my pleasure to be on your show. You're a great interviewer, and I think that you're doing a wonderful service. Thank you for doing your show, and thank you for inviting me to be with you. It has really been fun.
Thank you, Brenda. Be well. Well, that's going to do it for us. Let's Get Healthy. We're all works in progress. Thank you for listening in. And again, be healthy, wealthy, and well, and be safe whatever you're doing this weekend. Thank you.
Got my mind and my heart, yeah.